We hear this all the time.
There are so many updates and tons of community work happening. It's hard to keep up. How do I follow it all?
Here is your answer. Listen to the Gutenberg Changelog. Hello and welcome to our second episode of this new podcast called Gutenberg Changelog. I'm Birgit Pauli Haag, I'm curator at the Gutenberg Times, and I'm here with my co-host, Mark Urain, designer at Automattic and core contributor to WordPress. So how are you today, Mark?
I'm doing well. This day has been full of meetings for me, so it's a nice break to step away for a little bit and sit down and just talk with a friend like you, Birgit, for a while.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, I have a quite an interesting live Q&A this afternoon with the people from Google about AMP Stories. And Kathy Bosco was on it too, designer of it. And we did a love fest for AMP Stories because they're visually so attractive. So I'm really psyched about that. So shall we start with our listener questions again?
Yeah, it seems to be a good format. People are asking some questions, and I'm excited to answer those. So let's see. Peter Mueller asks on Twitter there, I believe, any news about a release schedule for WordPress 5.3? So there was just this week, on Wednesday, was the core meeting in Slack, and that was talked about. So there's three likely target dates for WordPress 5.3 right now. Nothing has been determined yet, but the three dates could possibly be 1 month prior to WordCamp US, and WordCamp US is on November 1st through the 3rd. The other two possible release dates would fall after WordCamp US. One could happen 2 to 3 weeks prior to Thanksgiving and Black Friday, or another date would be early December. That's what was discussed. And again, no decision has been made yet. But Peter also asks another question. He says, which version of Gutenberg plugin will be merged with it? That's hard to say because new Gutenberg plugin versions are released about every 2 weeks right now. So it all comes down to math. It could be about 8 to 10 versions of the plugin down the road from right now, for all I know, based on those time frames for WordPress 5.3. I hope that helps, Peter. Thanks for those questions.
Yeah, those are fabulous questions. Thank you, Peter. I get them once in a while also. Randomly outside of this changelog, and it is an opportunity to actually clarify the difference between the development cycles of the blog editor and WordPress Core in WordPress Core and the Gutenberg plugin. Do you know which version was in WordPress 5.2, Mark?
Yeah, so in WordPress 5.2, I believe Gutenberg 5.4 was bundled with that version. And these questions are fantastic because there was a lot of confusion when the Gutenberg plugin was holding the same version number as the WordPress version for a while. And that caused a lot of confusion. So helping people understand that Gutenberg plugin moves a lot faster and every 2 weeks a new version is coming out, so that we're already on 6.2. So, things are moving quickly.
And what happens is that unless there are really bad bugs in the core version, none of the features that get into the Gutenberg plugin after a release, WordPress core release, won't be ported back to the WordPress release. The Gutenberg plugin is pretty much the beta testing of the block editor's new features until they can be merged with core. So when we talk about what will be in a release of a plugin, We always talk about the plugin and normally not what's in core. Probably didn't make this clear enough.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even so, if you have the plugin and happen to update your WordPress software to 5.0, that turned off the plugin. So make sure you activate it again and you'll get access to the latest Gutenberg stuff that's being merged into the plugin as we go. And even in the plugin, Birgit, we're like looking at an experiments settings page of sorts to allow people who have the plugin to even test even more on the edge stuff that we're building, which is fantastic, like the widget screen or customizer stuff. And we're working out that settings page right now. Hopefully that'll be getting merged in very soon.
Yeah, that's interesting. But I think it's very important to actually release those things into the wild so you get more feedback and more...
Exactly. Yeah, it's one of the best ways to test is just get this into people's hands that are willing to experiment and maybe try things out. You know, you don't need to have a local environment at that point. You know, you just fool around with it a little bit.
Yeah. And so we have another listener question or discussion. Elizabeth had a question on Twitter about the image block and the difference between linking to the attachment page or linking to the media file. And during the exchange, we discovered a mistake in the documentation. The documentation said that if you use the media file, then it would automatically be displayed in a carousel. And that is something that only happens when the JetPack plugin is also installed.
Wow.
And the genesis of the start of the block editor documentation is that the WordPress.com support wrote the first set of documentation for the block editor for their users, and they have automatically installed the JetPack feature. So when it was transcribed to the WordPress.org, of course, everybody went through it, but that fell through the cracks. So I will, and thank you for Elizabeth to Elizabeth for surfacing that. Now when you link the media file, all the browser is displaying is just that particular image that was linked from the gallery block.
Right. Leave that settings in the sidebar there, the inspector, right? If you want to link it to the actual file. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great find. Thank you, Elizabeth, for that. And Birgit, for scouring through the documentation. And
I had to rely on Elizabeth. She had all the links in there in her tweet. If you, dear listeners, also have questions, feel free to tweet at us at Gutenberg Times with the hashtag changelog, or just send an email to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com, and we'll answer your question in our next episode. I'm absolutely sure that if you have a question, a lot of our listeners had that question in at least in the back of their minds as well, and we want to answer those then over the air. So we have only one announcement. Next week, our live Q&A on August 2nd, 2 p.m. Eastern and 18 UTC, the topic is using Gutenberg to bring speed and flexibility to news and editorial sites. And it will be a discussion with Byline Times editor Peter Hughes and Yes WeWork team members Andrew Steffel and Thomas Eagle about how custom blocks allow journalists to compose engaging layouts and without the help of the designers, and how ACF, Advanced Custom Fields, blocks makes testing and iteration easier for the developers. We also thought that we were going to start out with talking about what in the community happens, or what we heard on WordCamps when we are out there. And I can't shut up talking about Boston. I'm sorry.
Well, you just got back from there, right?
I just got back from WordCamp Boston, yes. And I got to listen to quite a few excellent talks, not all related to Gutenberg, but one was Responsive Containers by Kay Adam White. Kay Adam is a component maintainer, I think, for the REST API.
Yes.
But he didn't talk about the REST API at Rutgers Boston. He talked about the problem that media queries in Star Sheets don't get us where we need to go when we want to target blocks for styling. And because you cannot target elements that are encapsulated in a columns block to resize them for the space the parent element provides. And here's a very nice example where it has a three-column layout with a block grid, and then put the block grid in a column block with a two-column layout thing. And of course, the column block did not fall back to its one-column layout when it was in a smaller space. Just to recapitulate, so you could change the multi-column layout for a grid display to one column when the screen size is under 400, for instance, but you cannot resize it easily when the parent element only gives you 400 pixel width. So Kay Adam was following a suggested solution by Philip Walton, who's an engineer at Google, and applied it to WordPress.
I definitely want to watch that, though, because we are right now, like, I know we've taken a stab at some concepts and mockups, looking at adding block responsive controls or responsive controls for blocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the things that keeps coming up right now is that people are noticing, you know, like the columns block doesn't just respond nicely on mobile, or the media and text block, right? It's people are asking, like, shouldn't this just stack on mobile? Why isn't that default? But it's not happening. So we need to investigate this more.
And you're in luck, because Kay Adam actually released his first plugin ever in the plugin repository, where he made this available to...
I can't believe that's his first plugin ever.
Right, I couldn't believe it.
I should have like 10 plugins out by now.
So it was definitely worth checking it out. It made a total sense when I saw him, and we will have the slide deck and the plugin, and also Philip Walton's article in the show notes, so you can follow along. Yeah, it was a very good talk.
Adam does a good job at explaining that stuff for people to understand and grasp. So,
yeah, I understand it.
Yeah, another recent talk that was given at JavaScript for WordPress conference was by Greg Zelkowski, and he's a developer on the Gutenberg project, and his talk was about how to improve your skills with WordPress. JavaScript skills with WordPress. And he later then, after the talk, he wrote up a post about it, put it on his blog there, which we have a link to in the notes. And in the post, Greg goes over the history of JavaScript's relationship with WordPress. He compares React to some of the other JS libraries that WordPress has used, like Backbone and jQuery. And he touches on extensibility, which he has just a little part about extensibility, but I love it because, as I mentioned last time we talked, extensibility is the number one reason people love WordPress, according to the site building study that was done earlier this year. And he talks about React, how it opens the door for this extensibility even further. And then he digs into it in his post, and he goes over the modular architecture, embracing modern tooling. He goes into that a bit and talks about code reusability, which is a big thing now, and even code quality. The post is great for just, even if you're new to JavaScript, new to React, to read up on and get a sense for some of the reasons behind the decisions and kind of how React really helps us and WordPress in the future grow.
Yeah, and I admire Greg. He has done some awesome talks on other WordCamps before, and he also did some live programming on the Gutenberg Times live Q&A with Zach Gordon when he taught us how to change the block toolbar with your own buttons. So it was really good. A second talk at Boston about Gutenberg was more a higher level one by Jonathan Williams with the smart title, or cute title, Reacting to WordPress. an evolving journey of plugin development. And Jonathan works at Boston University, and he and his team are working on what they call the BU learning blocks, or short bulbs. The bulbs go off. And he retold the team's journey, creating open educational resources and quizzes for students available for free on their public websites. And when they started imagining the project, they saw WordPress jQuery and a jQuery library called Slick Quiz. And when the project progressed, they first switched out the front end and said, okay, we're going to do this in React. And then switched out the back end and said, okay, well, let's use Gutenberg for it. It extended a little bit the production of that and certainly took a productivity hit at the moment, but they've really feel that making those decisions future-proofed whatever they put in created, because they want this website or the courses and the curriculums out there for many, many years to come. So now educators are putting online curriculums together and are able to add their own quiz questions using Gutenberg, and via a JSON data format that feed the question into the front end. So I was fascinated by the story and the architectural choices, and then refactoring the earlier code for Gutenberg once it was in core. It was so once that's on WordPress TV, I think it would be a good thing to watch for anybody who's starting out imagining some more things with Gutenberg.
Yeah, it's exciting to hear Jonathan talk about it as future-proofing their work, because I've been involved in conversations before, Birgit, where people are really hesitant about React and what Gutenberg is doing right now and portraying it as almost as a blocker for a lot of people. I remember, you know, a lot of people really used WordPress at a time to learn how to develop and to program, and they learned PHP through this. And now in a sense, I totally understand the argument being made that, yeah, adding React and looking at things like Node and NPM packages and Webpack, like these things are daunting for people coming in who want to learn how to develop. So when I hear someone say it's future-proofing WordPress or future-proofing their work, it's heartwarming to hear like that there are people out there that are really trying to learn maybe some new modern technology and looking at WordPress once again as a way to learn and to grow development skills. Yeah, we have one more talk by Felix Arntz, who is a developer at Google working on AMP. Wrote another recent post about custom elements in Gutenberg. It's called Leveraging the Power of Custom Elements in Gutenberg, and we have a link in the show notes. In his post, Felix talks about technology complexity and content complexity, and he presents a component-based approach called custom elements. Then he breaks this down very technically, offers a few warnings for getting it right, and provide some great examples of a few projects using custom elements at the bottom. So if you're interested in the technical side of Gutenberg, this is a great post. There are some terminologies that you might have to acquaint yourself with, but if you're a developer, you jump right in. He opens it up and offers an interesting solution that I think is very important to read through.
Yeah, that's a very interesting article. And I think Felix talked about this at WordCamp Europe. Also what happened on WordCamp Europe, and we mentioned it last week, the core team also did some Gutenberg usability tests. And some of the updates to the Gutenberg plugin are based on the insights on how users work with the block editor now. And Mark, what else will the team discuss coming from these tests? And what are their plans to do future studies?
There's a lot of us are watching these usability videos, and the not only like the designers, but we have developers looking at them, accessibility team, WordPress.org watching these, and they're opening up a lot to our eyes. One of the main things is just the tips that you see when you come into Gutenberg. Oftentimes, when we're going through some usability tests, these tips are covering content and making it more difficult for the user to really achieve that first task. And we might have talked about a little bit of this before, but that's tips are getting redesigned because of some of the results coming out of this. And we see a lot with blocks as well, or even drag and drop. Adding drag and drop is a big thing that people are trying to use within the editor while they're trying to accomplish a specific task. For new users who are not familiar with Gutenberg and the block paradigm, sometimes it's not always easy for them to go back to the block appender icon or to insert a block. They just kind of want to grab the content that's on the page and drag and drop it into where they want it to be. And so there's explorations that are happening, which is really cool. And these usability tests, we're planning on to keeping the cadence of performing a usability test one every week. So we end up at the end of the month with about 4 tests. Mm-hmm. I'll sit down, I'll go through them myself, but I'll just try to post the videos at first, open it up for discussion for others to watch. And all this is shared on the Make blog /test. And we'd love to get people involved in that discussion and contributing there, watching these videos, calling out the things that interest them most. Because watching them ourselves, we miss things at times. And there might be things that are very specific that other people have also been challenged with in Gutenberg, or great successes as well. So these will continue to happen. And we're also looking at having another usability testing table at WordCamp US, similar to how we did at WordCamp Europe.
Excellent. So I really like this usability test, because sometimes I find myself in the situation that I can't grab the border of a column or either get a block out of it or blocks into it with a drag and drop. And so I'm always wondering, is it me and my mouse skills, or is it a problem that other people also have? So sometimes I might not air that towards the developer team or file a GitHub issue, because I can't nail it down in terms of what is it exactly that goes wrong. Yeah, and these usability videos definitely help with that.
They do. They help reaffirm that it's not just us that's having the problem. There's others out there struggling. And so catching on to these challenges is vital for us as we continue to develop and design and build Gutenberg.
Yes, speaking of what's in the works right now, and I saw on GitHub some great mockups to add gradient backgrounds to some of the blocks. And first in the first one would probably be the cover block, and the mockups include 2 or more different color pickers, and then as well as the radius for the direction of the gradient and opacity for the various colors. I think that's a great development to really answers some of Peter's questions on the enhancements to existing blocks that he had last week.
That gradient issue right now is getting a lot of contribution from other designers who are designing mockups and sharing them right there in the issue. And who knew? Like it doesn't always happen this way. Next time I want and I need some contributions, I'm going to find a way to work gradients in it, because gradients.
Yeah.
And I'm sure to get some good contributions. And these are good mockups these people are doing. Love it. So let's see. Another thing being worked on recently is the Gutenberg starter theme. Kel was taking a look at that this week, and he made several improvements throughout it. It has a dark mode. Basically, he added a theme preview thumbnail to this, some toggles for theme options, and aligned the front end styles more with Gutenberg. And for those of you who don't know, the Gutenberg starter theme was a theme that really was built to just kind of allow developers and designers and other contributors to really test the bare default styles that Gutenberg presents in the editor and on the front end. Sometimes when you're testing PRs and testing ideas out with an opinionated theme that might impose its own styles in the editor. Sometimes it's hard to tell if it's, you know, the editor that's causing a problem. Is it Gutenberg, or is it just the theme is forcing the block to work a different way than you expected? So having a Gutenberg starter theme just makes testing so nice for the rest of us. And Kel has really gone through and kind of beefed it up and added some really good things needed there. And he's even looking at getting it submitted to the theme repo possibly this week. There are a few hiccups with that as far as I believe the theme repo now is kind of requiring like any theme options to be built into the customizer and not have its settings page. So he's working through some of that right now just to refine before submitting it.
Yeah, and this work on the Gutenberg starter theme was long overdue. I think the last time somebody worked on it was 2 years ago when Gutenberg was first released as a plugin. Speaking of Kel exploring, he also explores an idea on how to handle selecting multiple blocks and transform them, for instance, into a column display. And the GitHub issue will be linked in the notes, but it's an interesting concept then, because one sometimes finds oneself in a situation to change over a layout, and then you have to do it one at a time, kind of drag and drop them, create a column above all it, and then drag and drop all the blocks that you want to have in there. But I also found that the columns block or transforming is an interesting approach. I would have thought that maybe that formatting would be the first thing that will be done with multiple blocks selected, because that's one of the stumbling blocks when people move from classic editor to Gutenberg. Then all of a sudden they cannot just highlight 15 paragraphs and set them all to a different font size or align them left or right. It's interesting that the transformation is actually into a different layout. But, you know, I was wondering if we could do this sooner, but I'm just now dreaming.
Yeah, this, I think it's really kind of riding the coattails of the group block and how we've recently implemented the group block. You were able to select a few different columns and convert, or select a few different blocks, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. and convert those or into a group block or wrap them in a group block with one click. So with that functionality, Kel saw this and really wanted to group these blocks into a column. So I think that progression was just kind of a natural progression into rather groups into columns. But what you're bringing up about selecting multiple blocks and being able to format them differently, this is something that we need to work on and we need to get this going. These might lend themselves more to like, they wouldn't be global styles, but they'd be just formatting multiple blocks at one time. I think you bring up a great point there. We have another issue that we could bring up. It's the alternative search for lists in the UI. There was some early discussion about this search functionality in the issue. Recently, a contributor suggested taking a look at how GitHub themselves do this. So in their labels, when you add labels to issues and you search for a label and turn it on and off, so we were looking at this in relation to the categories in Gutenberg there. Yeah, recently to help keep that conversation going or to spark it and get it going, getting people contributing again, I just threw up a few mock-ups based on the GitHub style. And so there's something there to look at for people and comment on. And after that, I wanted to talk about the table block a little bit. Birgit, I love the table block because it's... WordPress, like the classic editor, just really didn't give you that ability to create a table and add data, right? So having this table block just makes it so much easier. And currently, Dan Richards, a developer on the Gutenberg project, he's been focusing a lot on improving the features around the table block. there's one particular one that's coming that can be tested right now, but it's pull request 16493, where he's adding complete row or column selections in the table. So you can actually select an entire column, and then, you know, the future is that you'd be able to align that column differently rather than having to go through each cell and make a change. So, I mean, this is really basic stuff for a table, right? How we operate in the world of spreadsheets and use tables, but getting this refined in Gutenberg is happening right now. We're bringing those features in. So,
no, that's really huge. And I know that you're not the only one who likes tables in their contents. And it's rare that web editors actually, where you can do the rows, select rows or columns for formatting. Normally you either line by line and then it's columns and rows, or it doesn't work at all. So this is really huge. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, so I think that's all we have for today. Before we end the show, I want to remind everybody next week, August 2nd, is the live Q&A with using Gutenberg blocks for news and editorial sites. The links are on the front page of the Gutenberg Times, or you subscribe to our YouTube channel and you will get notification about when we go live. So do you have any other last announcements, Mark?
Just keep everybody, listeners, keep your eye out for the weekly Gutenberg design update. That's going to be coming later today. Normally I get that out before our show earlier, but I'm a little late. So keep your eyes out. It's coming.
All right. The show notes will be published on the Gutenberg Times on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And if you have questions or suggestions or news you want us to include, send some to the changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Yes, thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.